Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, guide and protect us in our spirit, our mind, and our body. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. It's another week where much of what we think about is being affected by our present situation, and we wonder about if what we have is enough to get through whatever is coming. And of course, we think about this and that, what it takes to live. But let us remember what is the most important thing is our eternal life with Jesus in that heavenly place. So focus on that and not on all the things that, well, are in front of us in our world here, in our life. And I know this is easier said than done, but we all have to start somewhere as we focus on Jesus and our eternal life. We do want to contemplate these things, of the things that are eternal, the things that are about Jesus. And to get to that eternity with Jesus, we want faith in Jesus, and we want to repent of our sinful ways, and we want to be spiritually born again. Now with that eternal destiny settled, then your level of fear and anxiety becomes very low. So read the Bible and understand that there are many, many passages which give you peace and comfort. And one of them is Isaiah 41:10. It goes, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Another passage, Philippians 4:6-7. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." See, there is good news in our Holy Bible. It's full of it. And so, read it. I saw this post recently, and it kind of got my attention. It reads, "In 3 short months, just like he did with the plagues of Egypt, God has taken away everything we worship. God said, 'You want to worship athletes? Well, I will shut down the stadiums. You want to worship musicians? Well, I will shut down the civic centers. You want to worship actors? Then I will shut down the theaters. You want to worship money? I will shut down the economy and collapse the stock market. You don't want to go to church and worship me? Then I will make it where you can't go to church." And then it concluded, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." See? There's things going on, and we just want to keep the proper focus on the things of God. And whether it's just so or not that these things are done, that our economy is shut down for this reason or that, the thing is things are happening, and we want to respond appropriately. Whatever that appropriateness is, we want to respond appropriately. So, we do have things to be concerned about. There's no doubt about that. I mean, just look at the virus that's going around. Yeah, we need to pay attention. But maybe we don't need a vaccine, maybe. And maybe we need to take this time of isolation and a time that we are apart from the distractions of the world to have a personal revival where we focus only on God, the things that really matter, which is Jesus. So spend time with Jesus and spread the love of Jesus whenever you can. And a part of that is prayer. There's a lot of prayer needs that the whole world has. So, like the Bible says, Ephesians 6 is to pray without ceasing. So, the Bible has lots of things written in it about how to live in this world. And yes, we have Jesus, and Jesus has us, but there are still things that we deal with. There are forces which come against us. We live in the world, and we need to be watchful so that the things of this world do not snare us. This is kind of an example here. If I saw a rattlesnake that was 5 feet away from you, I would loudly warn you about it, wouldn't I? Yes, I would. I wouldn't just say a prayer, ask Jesus to protect you, and walk away. No, it is appropriate to take action sometime, or a lot of the time. Prayer is a part of what we do, but also when we see danger, we speak about it. That's what I think about for me too. I see things going on around us in this world, and I want to say, look out, everybody. There's things going on, and if you pay attention to them, maybe they won't bite you. So we just have to look and see what to do that is done in a godly way as we love God and love our neighbor. So the thing about when we see trouble, it can go away on its own sometimes, but sometimes we just have to deal with it. For me, I've studied just plenty of history, and I've seen life and looked at people, looked at situations. So I talk about what I see and what I understand from a historical and a practical point of view. And the other thing is, when you talk with enough people, you find out there's plenty of people who have had some big, bad trouble in life. And we get to learn from the examples that they give us. And we get to learn what we ought to do and what we ought to not do. And so, well, what I see around us in a financial way, it indicates that we are going to see some changes. Just changes really in everything. Life changes socially, politically, and economically. I think these changes are coming. And so I shout out a warning about what we can do, what we ought to be aware of. And I have to ask how prosperous our nation will be. Oh, and what would we do if the prosperity of our nation did not return? See, that's just how it is in so much of the world. There are financial struggles going on. There are people who have enough money and people who don't. Just like there are grocery store shelves in most of the world that are not full. There are shelves that run out of toilet paper normally. But here, we're not used to that. We're not used to the shortages, canned soup or canned meat or any of the paper products. We're just not used to it. So it panics us a little bit. But it's a part of what we can do to be prepared for all the things that just might come our way. After all, they have happened in the rest of the world when they get faced with an economic situation or some kind of a failure. Well, with the events around us, we do have to wonder what's going on. Oh, there's plenty of people who say there will be a money problem or a financial problem. And so people are withdrawing their dollars out of the bank. But the banks, I've heard in the last week of a couple of examples where the banks are not letting you take as much as you would like to take out of the bank, out of your account. It's your account, but they will only let you withdraw, what, $300 in one case, $1,000 in another? So I mean this as an example that things can change. And last week, I gave the example of what happened in India. That was 3.5 years ago. India, it has a population of 1.3 billion people. It's a big economy. And so much of what has been done in India, they have a tradition of selling and buying things for cash. Cash is so important in India up until 3.5 years ago. At that point, cash was almost eliminated overnight by their government because their governments changed the money that was in use. They said, no more old money. You have, I think it was 50 days to turn in your old money and get new money, or the old money was going to have no value whatsoever. That was the government decree. And it happened in India. It was a money crisis. Will there be a money crisis in America? There could be. Will the banking system change? It could be. Because we are at the point where financial matters and questions and problems are really getting bigger and bigger. So now we see with this shelter-in-place order or request, whatever it is, we have it going on in so much of the United States now that it could be something that changes our economy also. It is a big deal. The government is allowing essential service employees to go to work, and like grocery store workers, and those workers are being instructed to carry a piece of paper with them that says they are an essential worker, and that if a law enforcement person has stopped them, they are requested. The law enforcement person is requested to allow that essential worker to travel to their place of work. And on that letter, it says, to verify this information, please call so-and-so at such-and-such retail grocery store. And I've seen a copy of that letter. I've seen it. And so there are things going on. What is going on? Yeah, we don't quite know, but things are going on with changes. They could affect us in ways that would be a surprise. I know that there's, if you listen to people, you hear things that are going on. Now, it's not that we quite know all of it, we don't, but we know that there's a shelter in place and there could be travel restrictions. There are people in law enforcement who are expecting it, but it's not the same as it happening. We hear about the National Guard coming in and helping to keep order. Oh, see, there's rumors. These are indicators of the National Guard purchasing hundreds of trailers to live in. It's just rumors. We don't know. But the point is things can happen, things can change quickly, and you want to have some level of preparedness. I know there are people high up in government who are talking about 3 months of travel restrictions to contain the virus. So there we are finally hearing some discussion about the economic harm that this is doing to our country and our society. It's worth the debate, and we should look at it and be a part of what the decisions are when we speak, when we speak to the people in charge. A lot of people see changes. And just a few days ago, there was the United Nations International Monetary Fund, the IMF, and they stated that what is coming to America is at least as bad as the 2008 financial crises. And there have been money managers which have said things are going to change and it won't be so good for America. The 2008 monetary crisis took 10 years to recover from. So we have questions we have to look at for what is coming and what do we do about it. There are people who say we are in for the worst depression of our lifetime. And I just heard Gerald Celente say something like that. And there is talk about how the world is being restricted in their movement because of this lockdown. 20% of the world having their movements restricted. Well, we are in a changing situation. I'll bring up India again because they are having now a 3-week lockdown where the Prime Minister has sternly warned every citizen to stay inside. They have to stay inside for 3 weeks. This is a real hardship. You know that in India, there are people who don't have running water in their homes. Yeah, they're poor people, and their poverty does not allow them to buy 3 weeks of food in their home when they are in lockdown. There's a lot of poverty in the world. In India, 22% of the population has a lower income than the international poverty line income, which is $1.25 a day of income. How are they going to get 3 weeks' worth of provisions? Well, they're not, but they have to stay in their home for 3 weeks by order of their top politician. Wonder how that'll turn out. And we wonder what will happen here in the United States. How would we survive a lockdown or a downturn in our economy? You see, we have, well, at least we have more than $1.25 per day. Well, we are a rich country. We have lots of wonderful and good things, including a Christian heritage. So there's a lot that are just kind of in the works for what could happen. And there's so many people, yes, in India, and yes, in the rest of the world, who do not have enough food or savings to live for 3 weeks. Even if they were allowed to leave their homes, they couldn't buy it because their income has stopped. Well, we are living in interesting times, aren't we? So, and it's not easy for us either. I was listening to a radio talk show, and I've heard this before, but I just heard it again, that 40% of the households in America do not have $400 on hand to pay for an emergency need. They can't raise $400. Like if they need a set of tires for their car, or if they have some kind of a repair. They don't have those few $100s. No. They would have to borrow the money to get by. And pretty much that means put it on a credit card. That seems to be the American way nowadays. Everyone does it. Everyone borrows money to get what they need. And that's not just the 40% of the households. That's the way of life it is for in America. And it didn't used to be that way. 100 years ago, people saved up their money to make a purchase. That's been throughout time. 100 years, 1,000 years ago, people saved their money and then had a purchase. But it's changed now. Whatever it is that people want, they seem to purchase. That is just the way it seems to go. Well, it could make for an unstable situation if there is a monetary crisis, if there is a financial downturn. And what would happen if everybody's credit dried up? That's what happened in 1929 for the Great Depression. Well, it was in the 30s, after the Great Crash of 1929. Then credit dried up immediately. People could not get loans. None. And nobody spent what they had. They were afraid that they wouldn't get more money, so they didn't spend what they had. And so that generation got a lesson, and that lesson was that we want to be debt-free. Well, of course, we have that today. Everybody wants to live debt-free, but somehow we just cannot control our desires, and we buy and buy and buy things on credit, or so that we have no savings. It seems to be the way of the world. It's that way for so many people, but it's not just people, it's groups, it's churches, it's cities, states and federal government too. We all have this desire to want what we want and to get it. But there is a cycle, a financial cycle. It's historical. And no doubt we will come about to a point where we can no longer sustain our spending. And what that means is another depression will come along. And then what happens? We, the people, lose what we own. That's a historical cycle. So where are we in history? Will we have a big downturn? What would happen anyway if we couldn't pay for the debt we have gotten into? What if we couldn't pay? Well, then we would have a situation of poverty. Because without the money, without being able to buy what we need, we are impoverished. That's just history. The story repeats. And I know I've recounted this on Christ Today. Well, it was a good long while ago, over a year ago, that I heard about this story about 35 years ago. This happened during the Great Depression of the 1930s. The fellow who told the story, it happened that he knew this from when he was a boy, and I heard it when he was quite old. And he said his pa owned a small farm with good soil, and his pa got a loan from the bank for $37 to buy some seed and some tools. And then the Depression came along, and his pa could not pay the loan back. His neighbors had no loan, and after the Depression, his neighbors still owned their they still owned their farm, and his pa no longer owned his farm. His pa lost his farm for a $37 loan. So that is a story that has been repeated all throughout history. It happens in a downturn, it happens in a depression, and it just plain happens anyway. I talked to a man who, well, this was a story about land along the coast of California. It was like 15 acres, and I talked to the man who was the nephew of the man who owned it. This happened in the 1960s. He lost this 15-acre property along the coast of California because he could not pay the taxes, and he couldn't get a loan to pay the taxes, and so he lost the property. These things happen in all sorts of ways, and people lose what they own because they don't have the savings. And so that's what we can learn from this, that troubles come along, and the best way to get through the troubles is to have savings and to not owe anybody anything. So get out of debt, pay everything off if you possibly can, and then you won't have that kind of trouble hit you. So it's a lesson. It's hard to believe because we always think that we are the exception, that we will do all right. We're not going to get into trouble. Look, we've done this well already, and we don't have to worry. But I'll tell you, I've seen problems in my life that I thought never would come, and they did. So it just means trouble can happen to anybody. And often enough, it is at a time that you do not expect. So beware. Be aware of the situation around you. There's, I don't even know of anybody who has not had trouble in their life. Whether you're a man or a woman, rich or poor, trouble just seems to come along. So learn that lesson of preparing for when it does come along. Whew, yeah. Walk down that straight and narrow path. That's always good advice. And also, sometimes we have troubles and we learn from the troubles. And that's the good thing about having a hard lesson, is we actually learn the lesson and we don't have to repeat it. We learn not to take the shortcuts. So just be aware of your financial situation, your personal situation, and take good care of it. Have savings. Pay off your debt. I think of the lesson about Proverbs 22:7, and it says, the borrower is servant to the lender. And so often we say, oh, I'm not a servant. I'm not a slave to the lender. And so in one way, yes, indeed, that is true. But in another way, you will find out that when you owe money and you're having trouble getting it together, you end up compromising on this or on that. And that compromise leads you to a point of being a servant to your debt. So it's a little different way of looking at it, but there is truth all through the Bible. And when you read that Bible, try to figure out how the Bible is true and correct, not how it's wrong. So it says the borrower is servant to the lender. That's true. It's just in a different way than you think about so often. But try to make it true, and you will get more understanding. God does reveal his truth to you, and when you belong to him, you make a request, maybe about how to understand something, and you say, God, show me the truth of this matter. And he does. But he does it in his own time and according to his purpose. But he does listen to what you say, and according to his plan and his purpose, he shows you. It is just amazing how God over and over teaches us. Well, he reveals his truth to us. So I think about the financial health in front of us, and that's why I talk to you about it so often, because it's that danger that's lurking over there, and we need to pay attention to it so it doesn't bite us. Yeah. So we do need to pay attention to all these different things about our health in life, physical health, financial health, all of it. And for your financial and physical health, don't neglect it. Think about what you can do. Like they're saying, there's a lot of people who are saying now that take vitamin C and even have some zinc in there too. Be prepared with cough medicine and a thermometer. That's what we can do about staying healthy, is to eat well and have plenty of rest and then have a few extra things on hand. Besides the first aid things, you know, if there's a sick person, you do need to have extra sheets, towels, and pajamas for that person. There are things that you can do. What steps? Well, we all do things differently, but look into what you want to do to be prepared. We are all different, and we all have a different idea. But the idea is to do something to get through a rough time. Look at what you can do to prepare. And of course, I always think of the basics, which are, to me, water or a water filter, and food, and warmth. So, let's see, and at the end of the broadcast, I'll tell you how you can get my free preparedness pamphlet. People all over have concerns. That is just the way of life. We all have concerns. They are different for different people, and it's a good idea that they're different. We want to have different concerns so that we can come together and help each other with our different points of view and the different things that we have set aside. There's some people, I don't mean to laugh, but there are some people who are very, very concerned about their personal safety, about not getting robbed or raped or assaulted. It's a good concern to have, and always we ought to be aware of what our situation is. That's, physical safety is a concern. And it's not that I have a lot of experience in that area. I don't. But I do read and I do hear stories. So, let's see. So there are people who talk about having their Second Amendment right. And yeah, I would say good for them. That's good. And I would simply say it is a personal choice, and you get to decide for yourself about what you do about it. And I see the biggest issue for anyone who owns a gun is that they keep them safe, completely safe. Now, I don't follow the matters, but a few days ago, one thing came right in front of me, and it was It got sent to me. Well, first let me tell you about this. I went to Walmart. These two things came together. So I went to Walmart and I had my arms full of stuff, so I went to the sporting goods register. And as I was there, there was a man who said he wanted to buy some ammunition. He was wanting to buy it, but he didn't have the updated identification that he needed. He needed a certain California driver's license to buy ammunition. And so I talked with the guy behind the, after he left, I talked with the cashier about it, the guy who was helping him. And he was saying that there are more and more restrictions these days for people who buy guns and ammunition, and that you have to have your address match the firearm, that everything has to match for the last 5 years for you to be on the list to buy things. So I just mean I didn't know that the regulations were what they were, and they are pretty restrictive to buy guns and ammunition. And I saw that the shelves in that Walmart were only about half full of ammunition. Some were just completely empty, but it just made me think. And the other thing that came in front of me was, just like 2 days ago, I got this paper that said a bill was introduced in Congress, that is the House of Representatives. It's H.R. 5717, and it would require a person to have a federal license if they were to shoot or handle or own any gun. Even if they already owned it, they had to have this federal license. Now, that's not law. It is proposed. But it still gets me looking at what is on people's minds. And it proposed a 30% tax on every gun and a 50% tax on all the ammunition that was sold. So I bring this up because it shows where the hearts and the minds of certain representatives are. And there were 16 of those House of Representatives who signed that bill, along with the sponsor, Hank Johnson, who was a Democrat of Georgia. So what I saw from this was, like I said, that if there were 16 representatives that signed this, it shows there is a movement towards it. Like I said, I'm not in the information loop. I don't keep track of these things. But I was surprised to find out that that H.R. 5717 was a real bill, and that it shows that things are changing in our country in that way also. Things are changing in society with the norms that are going on, with this virus that's going on, and things are going to be changing in this country with our money situation. And I will talk about that probably next week. But things are changing. And yes, we can be aware of it, and in fact, if we are not aware of it, it will hit us by surprise, just like this present virus did. So many people were unprepared to stay in their homes and live under a locked down situation. So many people just were unprepared for a bad thing to happen. And it could happen again. And so that's what I see coming up. It could be financially. Well, that's really what I see. But it can come up in any sort of a way. We can also have a natural disaster that would just devastate all of us. And I think about having those basics of life that we need to live. Water, food, and warmth are the basics of the most essential. Who has those? Well, we all have them. But the question is, how much do we need? And what are we expecting to happen as a trouble? And that is anyone's guess. I don't know, and you don't know, but I do, again, I'll say I do get concerned about the economics. I just thought of John Adams, because he said in 1798, he said that our Constitution was made only for a moral and a religious people, and it is wholly inadequate for the governing of any other. And that makes me think, are we a moral and religious people? Do you think that if John Adams were alive today, would he call us a moral and religious people? So, according to that, is our Constitution still made for us? Well, I don't have the answer for that. I just say, look at that question and examine your own hearts and your own mind and think about what is in the heart and the mind of most citizens of America. It's a good question. And I don't mean there's an answer. I just mean that we ought to be aware. I think we ought to be aware and remembering where our freedom comes from. What is the basis of our freedom? I think we all have a little bit of a different answer for that. Is it the founding fathers? Well, yes, in a sense it is. But I see God as where the source of our freedom comes from. See, in the Old Testament, we learned that God has always wanted his people to be free to worship him of their own free will. To be able to choose to worship God or to worship Baal. And the next part of that choice is to choose heaven or choose hell. That's what I see. And if you look at Moses, when he approached Pharaoh in Egypt, in effect, he was delivering a message to Pharaoh that was to let God's people go so they could be free to worship God freely. So before this and after this in the Bible, there are examples of God wanting freedom for his people, freedom to worship him. And there, like I said, there's examples of that, and our founding fathers knew this, and so it was in their great desire to give the people of America freedom to choose to worship God. Not just to worship God, but freedom in general. Freedom, it was a value that America has and has had from its very beginning. And if we don't, well, we get consequences. Oh boy. Consequences to everything. To the choices we make, to the freedom we have, to choosing God and Jesus or the ways of the world. Our choices have consequences. So choose God and live eternally in heaven. Yes. Don't choose your own path or the path of the world, which is to walk in away from God, and then you choose an eternity without God. No, choose God. Don't get mad because you only have two choices. I know there are people who think like that. Oh, God says you have to choose this or that. Well, yeah, be glad that God gives you two choices. Be thrilled that you can choose God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit and heaven. And then what do? I hope you live your life like you mean it. And read the Bible. You can learn about so many things about God, about Jesus, and you also get to learn about human nature and the choices that you make. Choose your spiritual path and live righteously in this world. That's what we want to do. A part of that path is how we are involved with money, because money is proof of how we believe, what we believe, and how we live. So it's an indicator. We either guide and direct our money, or our money guides and directs us. So take control of your every aspect of your life, including money. And remember to have mercy as you go through life. Mercy and compassion, because that's a part of who we are too. Look at the opportunities that money allows us, and let us direct our money so that we can apply it to our spiritual principles. I think that's what money is about. We want to master money and not have money master us. The Bible tells us that one day our whole world system will end, but not before it becomes a one world system. And we see more and more how the world is going into a one world system. It appears to me that we are getting closer and closer to that one world system. Lots of people see it. And, for instance, we already know that we are watched and tracked by cameras, by our telephone conversations, by our purchases. We are just monitored. It's over and over again. And it comes to the point where we are being, watched over so closely and analyzed. We are being analyzed with every purchase we make, with our behavior. And this is something which could at one point come against us if the one world system really does come into being and we have to worship the Antichrist. That is what we are all preparing for a possibility of. Well, it is for sure. It's just that we don't know the timing. There's a question of how we will be watched and what that means. We all have to figure that out. Will we comply with the mark of the beast? Well, we might say, no, I'll never take that. And that's true. You never will, and I hope you never do. And that's what we have to have that as an absolute point. No mark of the beast. But we take steps that lead up to it. Every one of us seem to. I'm pretty sure that you have a social security number. And I'm pretty sure that you want your social security benefits. And probably you pay all the appropriate fees and taxes. Yes, we do, and we get our tax credits too. We have a driver's license, and we have a license plate on our car. And even just in regular living, we have a we probably have a grocery store rewards card or a few other rewards cards that that give us something when we make our purchases. See, we are all getting tied into a system where it is leading to watching over us and having knowledge of our complete movements. And it's kind of like knowledge of what we do, complete knowledge of who we are and what we do. It's being put into a system, and apparently God does not like us to be numbered in that way. I say that because of King David, when he numbered the people. That was in 2 Samuel 24, right in the beginning. It says the God, Yahweh's wrath, was kindled because David numbered the people. So we kind of get the idea that God doesn't really like that. There's lots of room for discussion. So many people have ideas, and we can have a discussion and figure this out. But I still bring it up because I thought about it. Are we to be numbered? Good question. I think I got a little bit far from the point here. The point was that we are headed towards a one-world system. In one economy system of the world, you could call it a monetary economy. It's they go hand in hand. There's also a political system and a social system and a religious system, all under the one world authority. It's getting closer and closer. We can see how all these areas can unite. Some people think it is ready to be sprung upon us just any time and overwhelm us and cause us to become a part of it. And we all say, oh no, not me. But we all take those little steps, getting closer and closer to becoming an absolute part of that big system. And we all have to ask ourselves, what are we going to do? It's not that I have an answer. Yes, I do. Don't take the mark. But it's pretty hard to live. We think about, how am I going to get food? How am I going to take care of my needs, the needs of my family and the people around me, even the people I care about in my church or social circles? We think about how we are going to interact if we cannot be a part of the system. Good question. And if I had a real answer, I would tell it to you, but I don't. I just see trouble coming, and we ought to pay attention because our system is in the midst of a change right now. We are having the stock market do this and that. Yes, go up. Yes, go down. All sorts of things are changing. We have store closings. We have, negative bond yields is another one. Our society, up until just now, our whole world has never had negative yields on money. It's just never happened. And it means that things are changing. I think I'll talk about this next week, that our financial system and what it means, because the changes are being indicated, and we just have to see where they're going. Negative interest rates on the Treasury bond yields. We cannot continue in our system when we don't have interest. Interest payments. All our retirement funds, our retirement income, is based on having interest payments. And if that stops, it means that our retirement system is going to fail. It'll fail one way or another. So this is the reality that we are dealing with, and we have to look at the what ifs. What would we do if? That is just something we have to do. So I want to invite you to listen again to any broadcasts of Christ Today. And to do that, you can go to www.christtoday.org. And that is all lowercase and no spaces. And as you know, I think about preparedness. So if you want my free preparedness brochure, please send me a stamped self-addressed envelope to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And may you walk with God, and may God walk with you.